Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to this quick screencast where I'm going to step you through how to install and do a brief configuration of Windows Deployment Services, or WDS. Here I am on my Windows Server 2012 R2 system, and I'm going to go ahead and install the WDS role. So I'm going to go ahead and click on Add Roles and Features. It's going to ask me, is this what I want to do? I'm going to go ahead and click on Next. It's going to be a role-based or feature-based installation. And then it's going to ask me what server or servers I'd want to select. I'm just going to choose my server here, which is the win2012r2test.contoso.com server. I'm going to click on Next there. And I'm going to scroll down, and I should see it right here, Windows Deployment Services. So I'm going to go ahead and select that box. It's also going to ask me to deploy some remote server administration tools as well, so I can actually manage the Windows Deployment Services. Now remember, the reason that we're installing this is so I can actually do centralized deployment of my operating systems. Now WDS is the foundation of a lot of the other services that we have to offer, especially if you want to couple it with task sequences via the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, or if you want to have unattended answer files go as a part of that installation via the Windows Automated Installation Toolkit or WAKE. Or if you want to do some zero-touch installations and combine these types of things with System Center Configuration Manager. Really, WDS is kind of the foundation for all of that. So I'm going to go ahead and click on Next after I select it. I don't need any other features. And it's going to ask me briefly, what do I want to configure this? The big reason why we want WDS on our servers is really in that second sentence, Pixie enabled. So whether you're doing a light touch or a zero touch installation, part of the process that's key to efficiency in your infrastructure is that we can actually pick up those remote network boot requests or those Pixie requests that we're going to get here. And that's a big part of the reason why we bring the servers service into our deployment infrastructure. So I'm going to go ahead and click on Next. It's going to ask me, do I want to do deployment servers and a transport service, especially if you're going to do some multicasting, multiple deployment essentially. We're going to go ahead and do both, and I'm going to go ahead and click on Next. I'm going to go ahead and restart it if I need to, although I don't believe I will. I'm going to go ahead and click on Install, and this should only take a few seconds. I'm going to go ahead and pause the recording as it's installing the feature. So here we are. The installation has completed. I'm going to go ahead and click on Close. And now I'm actually ready to start using WDS. You notice the WDS service actually shows up inside a Server Manager here. Inside a Server Manager in 2012 Server R2, it gives us basic information about events. Is the service up and running? To configure this service, though, I'm going to go ahead and select the Tools menu. And under Tools, I'm going to go ahead and select Windows Deployment Services. Now, inside of Deployment Services by default, there's really nothing here, and it's up to me to actually go ahead and start configuring it, which is what I'm going to go ahead and do now. Now, to configure this service, I simply need to expand servers and click on my server that's there. And notice it has not been configured. It even tells me what I need to do. Simply right-click on this server and configure this server. Now, what this is going to do, it's a couple things. If I have Active Directory domain, it's going to provision that environment for me. It's going to make sure that we have DHCP enabled. It's also going to create some NTFS shares for us to use and leverage as a part of this environment. So I'm going to go ahead and click on Next. I'm going to go ahead and integrate it with Active Directory that I have here, or I could do a standalone server. It's really up to you of how you want to configure it. I'm going to go ahead and click on Next. And then it's going to ask me, where do I want to put the installation folder? Now, in my case here, if I go ahead and browse my system, I really just have this one drive on my particular system. Or I could put it on my E drive or my F drive. It really depends. I'm going to go ahead and choose the E drive. Normally, you do want to choose a remote path, so I'm just going to say remote install. I'm going to go ahead and click on Next, and that's going to say, what do you want me to do? Now, this is the Pixie boot request. It says, don't respond to any clients, respond to only known, or respond to all clients. Now, what happens here is we can also require administrative approval for unknown computers. This is our way of saying, okay, we're going to let everybody in that's there. Known computers are essentially saying, hey, it's only in my Active Directory. I'm going to go ahead and say, respond to all. I'm going to click on Next. And that's going to go ahead and configure the service and get everything set up. And then it's going to ask me, do I want to add images to the server now? I'm going to say, I'm going to clear that box. I don't want to do that just yet, although it is the next logical step. I want to show you what was created first. So I'm going to go ahead and click on Finish. And you'll notice here it actually creates the directories for the install images. This is where I would store any of my customized Windows deployment images. My boot images, this is what happens when we get a Pixie request. What boot image do we actually give to that client to actually respond to that request? If I have any approvals, I'd see them in pending devices. If I want to do multicast, it's under multicast transmissions. And if I have any drivers that I want to add to part of these installs, maybe for different types of hardware, because one of the great things about WDS, and especially with the Windows Imaging Format or the WIM files, they're hardware agnostic. But generally speaking, there might be some unique drivers that we want to throw towards those installations. That's where we can bring them in here. So as you can see, we actually have a fairly flexible environment. If I go ahead and open up my File Explorer, and I look in the E drive, you notice here that I actually have that remote install directory, and I pretty much have the same file structure that you see mirrored in the tool inside the Windows Deployment Services Management tool. Now the next step is simply to add in an image that I want to deploy. So I'm just going to go ahead and right-click and simply say Add Install Image. And it's going to ask me, do I want a new image group? We'll just say image group. Well, actually, we call this Window 8.1 deployment. And it's going to ask me, where are the files? It's looking for a boot WIM file and an install WIM file. Now, I'm just going to simply browse to my DVD drive, which I have mounted, which is essentially my Windows 8.1 CD ISO file. Nothing real specific about this. So I'm going to go ahead and just bring in my files. Here's my install.wim file. I'm going to click on Next. And I'm going to click on Next. And next again, and it's going to go ahead and bring in those files. It's actually going to take just a few seconds to bring in those files because it is going to bring in that entire WIM file into my server and verify the integrity of that file as well. So I'm going to go ahead and pause the recording as it brings in that image. As you can see here, my image has been imported now, so I'm going to go ahead and click on Finish. Now, what did that do? It actually added the image here as part of one of my deployment images, but if I actually browse out to my remote install directory, which is on my E drive, and I look inside of Images, and I look inside that image group, notice that install.wim there is there as well. So it's been essentially copied over for me to use and leverage. Now, the other thing that I'll do is I'm going to go ahead and add in a boot image. So I'm going to simply say Add Boot Image. It's going to ask me for the same location. I'm going to choose boot.wim, and I'm going to go ahead and click on Next. I'm just going to let it bring in the setup, accept the defaults, and is actually going to bring in this file. This should occur a little bit faster because it's a smaller file compared to install.wim. And this file has been imported. Now, I've just shown you the basics. So right now, we're accepting any requests from clients. If they're unknown, we're going to approve them first. But what have we done here? I've added a boot image and an install image. What I've just essentially done is centralized the installation point for Windows 8.1. Now, what does it really happen? So when a client boots up and it gets the request from the Windows Deployment Services, essentially what's going to happen is they're going to see the Windows installation as if you put the DVD in that person's local system. But this is all being serviced over the network. Now, granted, this is just the first step in many steps where you can actually bring in the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, like I mentioned earlier, or SCCCM, and have an image that's actually already pre-configured and pre-installed. Or you could create your own WIM file and bring in your own image as a part of this installation process. WDS is just that base of that pyramid for us to get started. I hope you enjoyed this recording. Thank you for watching, and have a great day.